What's not to like? That was a quote from my mom, Billy Schaefer. She used to always ask that question whenever she was faced with any sort of controversy or somebody giving her guff. Somebody talking smack about her, she'd always tell us, regale us with tales of bitchy suburban women who gave her attitude, or customer service people who weren't giving her the proper respect, et cetera, et cetera. She'd always like say, "Well, what's not to like?" You know, if somebody criticized her or didn't like her, she'd be like, "Well, what? How could you possibly not adore what you see before you?" It was this sort of fake, false sort of like confidence in a way, or like, but it wasn't false because she truly was confident, but she would be like, you know, let it roll off her back. That was her way of being like, you know, your words have no effect on me because I am a queen. That was sort of her attitude. And I loved that about her. And I try to remember that whenever I'm feeling insecure about myself or worrying what people might think of me. I try to remember that quote and go in my head, what's not to like? And it really would help me, especially in America One. You know, in America One, I sometimes would do things or get asked to do things, jobs that were out of my comfort zone. Like, I remember one time I got asked to host the 2018 Women's Image Awards in LA, and it was held at the Writers Guild Theater in Beverly Hills. And there was, you know, I knew there was going to be a red carpet and a certain amount of celebrity there. So I got paid a small amount of money to host the event, and I used every dime of that money in advance on getting ready for the event. I hired a stylist. I bought clothes. I got professional hair and makeup done. And I wasted all the money on just trying to get one Instagram photo that would be really great of me looking like a 10, or at least an attempt at a 10. Look, it was going to be an event. Look, it was more than just like an Instagram photo op. I knew that I would be up on stage. There'd be a lot of people from my industry there, people who'd never seen me before, never had heard of me before, and I wanted to make a really good impression. So I wanted to go in there with that feeling of what's not to like. And I knew that I would need some professional help in order to get to that point, which is hiring people to dress you and put whore paint on your face so that you will be an acceptable woman, okay? So I went to all this trouble to get ready. I wore like a royal blue jumpsuit type thing, which is like a one-piece outfit, superhero type outfit. I wouldn't even, or a janitor outfit, depending on how you describe it, but it went off the shoulder on one side. It was very drapey, and I felt like at one point that maybe I was wearing a curtain, but I think I looked pretty good. And I had to wear high heels, which I was not excited about, because I had to do a little bit of stand-up as part of the performance. And I don't know about you, but performing stand-up in high heels for me is just not ideal. And anyway, the event went off mostly without a hitch. I realized upon arriving, I don't know, you know, there's just sometimes when you get hired to host something, or when you're work for hire, when it's not something you organized or not something that it was your idea, you're just there to serve your purpose, which is, you know, in this case, to host. Sometimes you're a writer, sometimes you're just a presenter or doing a quick set or whatever the thing is you've been hired to do. And when you're work for hire, you're coming into somebody else's production. And sometimes you show up and it's like, they are the most type A people. They've got everything organized. Stand here, look there, you know, and you don't even have to think. You're whisked into it, and then you leave and you've done your job. And some people prefer that. I actually prefer that a little bit, unless they're so uptight that, like, you can't deviate and be yourself. So in some cases, when it's too type A of an organization, of an event, where you can't really, like, be free, sometimes I think you see that on the bigger award shows, where a celebrity comes out and gives a speech, to present, and you can tell they're trying to be funny, but it was written for them by somebody that doesn't know them, and they don't feel comfortable riffing, so they just read off the prompter, and you're a little bit like, oh, that was really awkward. And that's why a lot of times you see on these big award shows, there's just a lot of weird awkwardness. And they don't let people riff and all that stuff unless they think that you're someone who can do that. Anyway, or there's the other end of the spectrum where you show up to an event like this and you're work for hire and you get there and you're like, oh, nobody's running the ship. Nobody's in charge. This is chaos. And I don't want to talk too much shit because overall I think the event was really good. And I think it was more of a problem of being understaffed than anything else. But I got there and I was like, oh, there's nobody. This is really a little bit disorganized. So I realized early on that I was going to have to take the reins and just have fun with it and make the audience feel comfortable that this isn't so serious. We're having fun here. We're celebrating women in the entertainment industry. And it went really well. I think I rocked it. You know, what's not to like? Anyway, the level of celebrity there I would describe was, I know you're someone, but I can't figure out who. That's the level of famous people that were there. So there were definitely celebrities there, but they were where you didn't really know their name, but you saw their face and you're like, I know I've watched them in a TV show or a movie before, but I can't figure out which one. That's a big LA thing. Like when you're walking around, you'll see someone and you'll be like, do I know that person personally? Or are they someone who played like a minor character on The Walking Dead for 3 seasons, you know? And it's awkward sometimes. One time, I'll never forget, I went to a screening in New York, actually. It wasn't an LA experience, but very similar. I was in New York and I went to a screening of a movie and I saw someone that I thought I knew and I was like, hey! And then as the hey started to end, like on the very last hey, it hit me that this was not a friend of mine or someone I knew. In fact, it was a member of the band Vampire Weekend. So we were not friends. He looked at me. He waved uncomfortably at me. Now, in my defense, I actually did meet Vampire Weekend many years before. I actually had a show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York. It was called Video Gaga, and I showed funny music videos it was funny music videos that people had made. And this was sort of like pre-explosion of Twitter and Facebook, like where everyone just experienced every video on their phone. And there was sort of a reason to show funny videos at shows. It was kind of a weird concept of a show. And I had some live performance and I would try to always have a musical guest. And one time I had the musical guest Vampire Weekend, and it was obviously before they blew up and it was like right before. So I just wanted to point out that I'm someone who has my finger on the pulse. And when I tap talent for projects that I'm working on, you should keep an eye on those people because they are on their way to being super famous. That's just how I am. Anyway, so I'm really rambling here, but my Women's Image Network Awards event that I hosted went really well. I think I would describe my look as acceptable, fitting in, enough of sass in my step. But I will tell you one thing about when you wear a one piece, you know, like a pants and shirt connected, zipped all the way up jumper type situation, it's really not convenient to go pee pee. And I held pee in, no joke, from 4 p.m. until 11 p.m. I did not pee once during that time. And I gotta say it again. What's not to like? You know? there was a lot of really cool people. One really highlight for me was a musician named Michelet performed. And she is known as one of the collaborators with NWA and she had some hits on her own in the 80s and early 90s, R&B singer, great voice. And she was in a relationship with Dr. Dre and actually had abuse allegations against him. And she was also in a relationship with Suge Knight and had abuse allegations against him as well. So she put out her own movie called Surviving Compton as a sort of alternate take in history, her own history of the famous movie Straight Outta Compton. And I thought it was very interesting because a lot of times history is written by men, and especially the history of hip hop and music, the music business in general, a lot of times women's contributions are left out. And I was thought it was really great that she put out her own story and, you know, to stand up and tell your story against Dr. Dre, who's like a billionaire and one of the most popular people in music and very powerful. That's really, that takes some guts. Anyway, she performed, and one of the features of her that people do point out, which I'm sure she is tired of hearing about, which is that she has a really high voice. Like she talks like this, like she's got like a baby voice. And, there's nothing wrong with her. She just has said she talks over her larynx. Like, it's just something about how she talks. But then she sings and she's like, you know, she's like, I had a vision of love, which is a Mariah Carey song. But anyway, that's the low voice song that I can think of. But she sang at that award show. And it was really great. The other memory I have from it that I thought was really funny was there was, I can't remember her name, but this actress won for something, some show she was in, and she came up and gave this speech, and it was really like, now this award show was kind of, as I mentioned, sort of like not that big of a deal, okay? Not like the Oscars, not like the Emmys. And she gets up and she's delivering straight up an Oscar level speech. She's like, and I just want to thank my mother and my agent and my manager who every step of the way believed in me, and they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. I mean, it was like really dramatic, and I was like, oh, this is an actress. Like, she is doing it up. And I'm thinking, wow, she is really going for it. And then about the three quarters of the way through, she stops and she goes, I'm sorry, I just think this might be the only award I ever win, so I'm doing this. And that was the funniest thing ever. And it was like so great to see someone be self-aware in the moment, and it was so endearing. It made me really love her, and I forgot her name already, which is my problem. All my fault. But anyway, that was fun. I just want to apologize right now if I'm sounding kind of boring or just sort of sleepy. I woke up this morning in the cabin, and I call them like phantom hangovers. I feel like I have a hangover even though I did not have a drop of alcohol last night. And my head hurts. I feel a little bit stuffed up, a little achy and tense. And I don't know what I was doing yesterday. Well, actually, I know exactly what I was doing yesterday. I started a new workout regime yesterday in the cabin on the grounds. I started to create my own personal CrossFit routine. And I say CrossFit because I actually did CrossFit back in America One. In fact, I even lived briefly in the CrossFit DBZ. Now, I know I haven't spoken much about the DBZs and how they work. So basically what happened was, before I'll get into the CrossFit stuff in a second, because I know how excited people are to hear about CrossFit. When they find out that you do CrossFit, they're just like, please tell me more. You know, I want to hear all the details. And that's why people who do CrossFit talk about it so much. And it's because people are obsessed with hearing about it. It's not us, it's them. We're just giving the masses what they want. Anyway, so what happened was, it, you know, and how you got into different DBZs was actually pretty interesting. There were some surprising directions you would go in sometimes. And it was basically towards the end of America One when we realized, okay, we need to do something. War is about to break out. There was a lot of little militias popping up, like little Clive Bundy type you know, groups of people with guns, and sometimes they weren't guns. They were just, you know, a group of people like hunkering down and going, this is our area and we're sick of our society, and you can pry this from our dead cold hands. The government is trying to, the liberal elites or the, and sometimes it was the opposite, you know, the Cletus white supremacists are trying to come in and take what's ours. And people were starting to isolate themselves into their areas or compounds, neighborhoods, whatever the particular thing was. And somebody got an idea and they were like, hey, maybe there's something to this. Maybe we just need to have a timeout. Maybe everyone needs to go with their own, go into their corner, think about what they've done, and just have a moment while we figure this out. And that's when the DBZs, the Designated Bubble Zones program, was designed. And you know, we had to get away from each other's throats for a second. We had to take a breather. We had to prevent war. And there were a lot of people who were like, this is a terrible idea. Isolating ourselves is only going to cause more problems. I mean, look at what North Korea was like. You know, of course, as we know, I mean, the North Korea Donald Trump show, you know, pissing contest ended in a way that we never would have imagined. I mean, who knew? Who knew that in the end, Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump actually loved each other? And what they wanted was friendship. They really, like, were kind of obsessed with each other and realized they were sort of kindred spirits. And when they had that, we all thought they had a, you know, meeting. It was a huge deal that Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, the president of the United States, were actually going to have a face-to-face meeting. You know, it's unprecedented. The United States of America having a sit-down meeting with the leader of North Korea, and they decided to do it in a neutral zone. They did it on Richard Branson's island, which, you know, one billionaire to another. Donald Trump respected Richard Branson on some level. He was definitely jealous of Richard Branson, but Richard Branson, you know, as someone who constantly tried to solve the world's problems with money and with his, like, you know, great smile and dazzling blue eyes, invited Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump to his private island and said, okay, look, let's try to work this out. You know, I started Virgin Records. I started Virgin Airlines. I, you know, go windsurfing with Obama. Why can't I solve this? And he goes in space and all this stuff. So we thought, okay, Richard Branson, maybe he's got a good idea here. Elon Musk apparently was like kind of jealous. Elon Musk was like, wait, I wanted to solve the world's problems first. I wanted to have these two guys meet on my compound. But Richard Branson was like, yo, dude, you snooze, you lose. This is my moment. So they invited Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un to the island. It was people were thinking, oh my God, we're going to come away from this potentially at war. Nuclear war might break out after this. But it turns out they were like immediate best friends, hit it off, two peas in a pod. They were just so excited to like shake their tiny hands together. Turns out, you know, there was a lot of rhetoric leading up to that point. It was like, whose dick is bigger? Turns out both of them have really small penises. So there was just sort of this moment of vulnerability between them where they were like, wow, we're just two of the same cut from the same cloth, man. Maybe we should just be best friends. And that's when they became best friends. And everything changed after that, for the better in some ways, but also for the worse, because they're both kind of like dictators, and they would sort of help each other come up with ideas on how to be more cruel. So in some ways we avoided nuclear war because they decided to join their nuclear weapons together, which was really scary. But, you know, in the end, as long as we all didn't blow up and have our faces melting off, I guess I had to go with it. So anyway, I'm really digressing here. I apologize, but someone kind of figured out that like, maybe we need to isolate ourselves a little bit, you know, maybe we need to go off into our corners and have a timeout. And so we instilled this DBZ program, and the way that you found out which DBZ you were going to go live in was very simple. You took a BuzzFeed quiz, It was actually the last thing BuzzFeed ever posted was the which DBZ are you, which designated bubble zone are you quiz. And it was obviously everyone had to take it. So it was one of their most popular posts, very viral. It was 100 questions long. And so some of the questions, just to give you an idea, it would ask you questions like, which of the following statements most accurately describes you? And it'd be like a multiple choice. A, Woody Allen is a child molester, and I never thought he was a genius. Most of his movies suck. B, Woody Allen is a child molester, but I still think he's a genius. And I might get into an argument with my girlfriend over it. C, we actually have no proof of anything that Woody Allen did, and this Me Too movement is getting out of hand. D, Woody Allen innocent! E, who is Woody Allen? Okay, so those were the choices, and you would choose which one, and then that would kind of put it into factor of like which DBZ you ended up in. Which, by the way, the Woody Allen thing, I mean, look, I probably would have answered A on that. Woody Allen is a child molester, and I never thought he was a genius. Most of his movies suck. That was just where I was at. It just wasn't my thing, you know? But there was a point during the Me Too movement where a journalist asked Woody Allen, what do you think of the Me Too movement? And he said, well, we have to be careful or it will turn into a witch hunt. And I thought that that question, first of all, why are we asking Woody Allen his opinion on this? It's just, leave him out of it. He's not the person who should be commenting. It's sort of like a not a trustworthy source. Like, his opinion on the Me Too movement might not be one that we should listen to, given the circumstances. But anyway, I always laugh because he said witch hunt. And it's like, the term witch hunt in reference to the Me Too movement always made me laugh because it was like, okay, do you understand the history of witch hunts? First of all, witches aren't real. Okay, witches aren't a real, I mean, at least in back in the day, what they thought witches were, they could fly through the air and they eat babies and they do, you know, evil spells on people. Like, that's not real. Like, witches aren't like a real thing, but sexual abusers and rapists are real. Those are real things. So again, it's already, we're already in a sort of, the comparison doesn't really work, you know. If we were going around in the Me Too movement accusing people of being vampires, like, you know, oh, Quentin Tarantino's a vampire. I saw Quentin Tarantino sucking the blood of a human. Then we could compare it to a witch hunt because we could say, oh, we're accusing people of being something that doesn't exist. Okay. So there's a little bit of a logic problem there. But I always laughed because I would be like, well, what kind of witch hunt is this? Like, is someone standing up and pointing at Woody Allen going, I saw Goody Allen with the devil? Guys, it's a crucible joke. And it wasn't that successful, I will admit fully. Anyway. That was a really long, 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 long way to get to saying the phrase Goody Allen. But also, okay, so another question on the BuzzFeed, which designated bubble zone are you quiz. Another question that would be on there would be other questions like, when was the last time you unironically said, yes, queen? You know, and how far back in time you said it unironically would sort of determine what type of person you are and which group you might belong in. So you answer all these questions, and at the end of the quiz, it tells you, you would be happiest in the blank designated bubble zone. So the first one, I, of course, you know, I took the quiz, and it says, congrats, you'll be happiest in the comedian DBZ, which I have discussed in the past. So it was pretty accurate for most people, but thankfully, if you got to your DBZ and it didn't work out, as it did for me many times, you were allowed to switch DBZs if you filed the appropriate paperwork. So at one point, I decided to just ignore the old BuzzFeed quiz and just go with my gut. And at the moment, I was maybe feeling vulnerable or I probably was feeling very weak at the time. I decided to try out the CrossFit DBZ. Yeah, there was a CrossFit designated bubble zone for people who were into CrossFit. And I immediately got there, and I mean, it was probably one of the shortest DBZs I ever stayed in. Man, now, first of all, I did CrossFit in America 1, and I enjoyed it. I felt very strong. I went to a really chill one where they weren't, like, super crazy about it, and I felt like I was in the best shape of my life. But then when I went to the CrossFit DBZ, I didn't realize what the overall CrossFit culture was like, you know? It was just a little bit too much what I would refer to as woohoo culture, okay? Like, people going, woohoo! Woohoo, girl! Do it! You can do it! Woo! Like, that kind of thing. Or, like, a little bit too much of, like, bing, 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 like, that kind of thing. And when I make that noise, like, bing, 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 like, I'm not saying that people had air horns, which they certainly did. I don't even know if that's the proper term for that sound effect, but when people had the real horns, they would do it with their mouth. They would go, bing, 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 just like I'm doing right now. Bing, 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 bing. And that was like, it was just a little, it was like coursing through their veins, you know? And that sort of culture didn't, as you can probably guess, did not match well with my personality. But I will say the fitness aspect of it, it did try to keep with me in my mind. And I've been trying to do my own workouts. Starting yesterday, I tried to recreate some of it. Now, in CrossFit, you do things like wall balls, which is where you squat down. You've got a big ball, like a kind of a bigger volleyball, like it weighs a certain amount, 10, 14, 20 pounds, whatever. And you squat all the way down, and then you jump up and you throw the ball up in the air about 10 feet, and then you catch it and you go down into the squat. And if you're tired thinking about it, trust me, it is a very difficult exercise. Well, I went on Drone Mall, and the wall balls were way too expensive. So I decided to try and recreate my own wall ball. And so I just duct taped a pillow into a circular shape. And I'll be honest, it's not a full 10 pounds, but it's a good start. And I'm trying to use things around the property to recreate some of my favorite CrossFit exercises, you know, pull-ups. And now, look, I'll be honest, I never did a pull-up, but I would do ones with, like, basically you take a giant rubber band, you put your feet in it, and it makes you think you're doing a real pull-up when really you're not. They would call them assisted pull-ups. I call them fun pull-ups. Still a good workout, though. So I've been doing my CrossFit stuff, and as I say this, I realize, wow, I'm talking about CrossFit. I'm fulfilling the stereotype. The people who do CrossFit never shut up about it. And you know what? As a friend of mine once said, maybe the reason why CrossFitters constantly talk about it is because that shit works. So you know what? I'll fucking talk about it all day, bitch. I'll talk about my WOD, and that stands for WOD, workout of the day. Okay, these are inside terms that only CrossFitters would understand. But, you know, it's a way of life. It's a mindset. It's your intent. And you know what? It's all about gains. Healthy, lean gains. I don't know. I actually only did CrossFit just so that I would try to look better for the red carpet. You know? Get some tone in my arms. No, the real reason I did CrossFit and I'm trying to do it now is because being strong actually does really improve your life. And this is coming from someone, and I've mentioned this before, someone who is so weak, so, so weak that I didn't even know until my 30s how to sit down properly. I was just skin and bone most of my life. And when you realize how much easier life is when you're strong, like getting in and out of a car, walking upstairs, picking something up without throwing your back out. I used to throw my back out just by like turning on the sink, like turning on a water faucet. I'll never forget the time I threw my back out. I just leaned forward to turn on the sink, and there was I was frozen and on my back for 3 days. That's weakness. And, you know, so you got to get strong. I'm trying to get back into it, and that's what's happening at the cabin. And I mean, we're just, you know, transitioning on into it. What's happening at the cabin? Well, I'll tell you. I've been working on CrossFit. I've been trying to limit my time on the internet, and I know that sounds crazy because as I've said, we only have two websites. We have Drone Mall and Hamster Dance. And don't worry, I'm not spending a lot of time on Hamster Dance, though sometimes you do get mesmerized with it. You turn it on and it's like, you know, that whole thing. You get into a trance and you're basically watching it for, you look up the clock and you're like, oh my God, 25 minutes just went by. And I just was staring at Hamster Dance. You know, that, I'm not talking about that necessarily. I'm talking about, I guess, you know, when they made us get rid of all of our phones and they shut down the internet, you know, that you still had this habit of looking at the internet. And so I have struggled at times with spending too much time on Drone Mall. But I sometimes do it because it helps me feel nostalgic for the olden days of malls, shopping malls. Like when I was a teen, the mall was like the center of my universe. And it was the center of everyone's universe. Malls in the late 80s and early 90s were fucking awesome. They had all the shops. And I really appreciate the fact that they tried to give Drone Mall a little bit of a vintage feel. And like, it is like you're going through a mall, virtual reality, and you get to go to all your different shops. Of course, it's a mega mall because they've got to have all the shops that you would possibly need. You know, back in the day, malls had the limited. They had the Gap. They had Wet Seal. They had an arcade. They had a little shitty movie theater. Oh, I remember. They used to have this store, and this may have just been in my town, but they had this store called Hot Stuff. And I mean, already the fact that it was called Hot Stuff is just so 80s. It's unbelievable. But there was a store called Hot Stuff, and what they did was they took a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, and they put it on this thing, and they would spin it, and then take paint and squirt the paint on it. And so it was this sort of like Jackson Pollock looking like explosion of paint on your shirt, and then they would put your name on it, and it was all these designs. It was so 80s. It was amazing. Anyway, Hot Stuff was really cool. Loved Hot Stuff. So yeah, there was a lot of really cool places in the mall. But now Drone Mall has all the stores. It has, you know, and it has your giant grocery stores, different ones, given your preference. If you want to do Whole Foods, if you want to do your Rock Bottoms, Food Lions, you know, your shitty grocery stores, whatever. No offense, Food Lion. But yeah, so you get all your food dropped off. Now, I try to, you know, because it's drone delivery, I try not to order too much fresh produce off of Drone Mall. I try to grow most of it myself. It's been a process. Now, it helped that the fact that I was a gardener back in America One and had some very successful gardens. But the garden I have now is the bomb. I get worried sometimes, you know, I can't ever figure out how to grow cucumbers correctly. They always shrivel up and die. But overall, I feel like I've got the food thing on lockdown. Anyway, that's what's happening at the cabin. And I feel like I've only talked for about 15 minutes. But you know what? That's what I have because I feel a little hungover. And for real, I did not drink last night. I did not. So yeah, you know, spending some time on Drone Mall and got a little too deep into the online shopping and yeah, not even buying that much because, you know, the money situation is a little wacky in America too, which I'll get to probably in a future episode. But, you know, I had to kind of cut back on the amount of time I was spending looking at Drone Mall. And the CrossFit stuff is definitely helping me get out, you know, get on my feet, get the blood flowing and all that. But yeah, I guess this has been kind of a lighthearted episode, you know? It's working out okay for today because you know what? I don't know. I'll finish it as I began. What's not to like?